Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
The 2027 NBA draft class is wide open. Does that mean it's a bad class or that we'll just have to work a little harder to find the diamonds in the rough? We're mapping out the class as it stands, digging into a swing skill for one of my favorite returners, asking a crucial question, and closing with a Tyron Stokes take that Rutgers probably going to tear apart. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Draft talk in August? Who are we? I'm doing great.
We're always bad. Draft season, baby.
It's always draft season. No off season this year for us, it feels like. Doing great, Metcalf. Get to talk hoops with you, get the gears going a little bit. And, you know, we can't fight it. You know, destiny arrives. We got to talk about the draft. So I'm doing good. I'm ready for the months to speed up a little bit. I feel like I'm eager to get back into full swing. How are you doing?
I'm excited to talk for the next 4 hours about these eligibility rulings. And, you know,
I don't get it.
At this point, I don't care. Figure it out. Let's just tell me who's where.
That's what I want to know. Just tell me if they're really playing. That's all I want to know.
I also need people to learn to move on for, you know, sometimes graduating and moving on in life is a good and healthy thing, but I digress. That's not why we're here. We're here to talk 2027 NBA draft, prospects, players, rankings, all that good stuff. So Rucker, just right off the bat, gonna hit you with the big question. Is the 2027 draft class, is it bad or just perceived that way because there's no clear number one?
No, it's not bad. There's always Debbie Downers, but initial drive, I'm like, or initial quick dive. I haven't done, you know, what I want to say is my deep dive yet, but my initial dives where it's just like, oh, I have the itch. I can't fight it. I got to watch something. I'm like, all right, if these guys are perceived as bad, then I'm in for a fun year. I do think, you know, going back to seeing a couple of these guys before and, you know, some high school events and whatnot, a lot of these guys are raw. And in my opinion, like the developmental path, they're still like in that raw area compared to, you know, the 25 class, the 26 class. I think those guys were a step ahead. So this one, for me, like my expectation, Metcalf, is we're going to get the old school classic, like, oh, a lot of upside swings that you got to be patient and develop that I'm hoping develop this year and would take a big step. But it might just be you're kind of drafting the potential swings. And I wonder if it's going to all of a sudden become like a draft where it's like, could we have a surprise amount of guys staying or surprise amount of guys declaring? Cause it might be a little uncertainty, but we have so much time to go. I think there's always draft talent and there's a lot of talent in this class. It just might be a little bit more, you know, seasoning still. What about you?
And it reminds me a lot of the 2024 draft where, and honestly, that was one of my favorite classes to cover. Not from a talent standpoint, but from a man, these boards and these rankings and
you're
these
right.
perspectives and evaluations are all over the place, and that there's no clear consensus number one. Like that year, I ended up with Castle at one, and I turns out that was one of the years where I apparently got one right for now. But like Reese O'Shea ended up going one, Alex Sarr went two, and Donovan Klingon. Some people had Reed Shepard at one. So like that class was all over the place. And I thought that was really fun because you got so many different perspectives and evaluations. And when you get classes that have a Victor Wembanyama or like this last one where we had a big three or big four, like there was some dissension between those guys, but for the vast majority of people, it was those four names. And it's like, okay, like whatever. And everyone's rationale was like, man, it's razor thin. It's like, okay, cool, whatever. Like we know who the elite guys are. But when there isn't necessarily an elite guy, then I think we get into some really fun territory with takes and evaluations and what people actually value and hopefully avoiding groupthink and going off of like, oh, well, I see everyone has Paolo at one, so he's my number one. You know, that just that kind of stuff where you end up inevitably getting influenced rightly or wrongly by just the noise from the collective group. And I think this is one of those years where we're going to see a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I think it's wide open, and I'm right there with you. These are the years that I'm the most excited about because there's uncertainty and we all get to kind of debate. Like it's annoying when it seems like everyone just automatically goes like, oh, the there's no number one guy, there's no Cooper Flag, and it's automatically a bad year. It's like, that's not true at all. You know, we 24 year, everyone was like, this is a bad draft. It's like, no, it's not. We look back and you just brought up like Sarr, Reed Shepard, Steph Castle, look, Klingon, Zach Edey, Buzelis, Bob Carrington, Khalil Ware, Jared McCain, like Jalen Tyson was the 20th pick. Like there's always value in every class. And I think it's just also like, I don't know, have as much star power or whatnot, but there's always a lot of talent. And watching a couple of these guys, watching some of these guys over the years, some of the returners, this is a fun class. This is going to be another good year. I think there's a lot of talent. There's also just a lot of like, we're kind of waiting to see how big the step is from high school to the freshman year in terms of these players developing, or if is it going to be a more of an upside swing that if they're in the draft, you might have to stress patience. But I think there's a lot of talent in this class. I really do, from an early perspective.
Yeah. So let's stick with that note of optimism. That's note of joy because we are in early August. So shout out to the sickos who are diving in on this, who are just like some of the names that when you look at this class, obviously there's a lot of basketball, you dare say all of the basketball left to be played, but who are some of the guys that like initially get you excited?
The one guy that gets me excited out of my mind, and I practice the pronunciation. I'm gonna try, guys. Stefan Joksimovic.
Oh, you bailed. Okay. You bailed. You just gotta let it flow. Stefan Joksimovic.
Oh gosh. I looked up pronunciation too, and it said C. Okay, so Joksimovic.
Yeah, I believe so.
I want to just call him Stefan. So how long, Stefan, how long until the season until I could just call him first name basis? Probably the end of the year. Okay, great.
I mean, given how he played at FIBA U18 Euros, we might be there.
I might be there. I need to find a nickname. I love him.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, top five. I'm like, I could see him being one. My preseason hot take. Like, I could see him being the guy.
That's kind of where I got to. Like, I caught up on some, not all, but we're working on a few pieces of content for, like, his FIBA stuff. And it was like, oh, are we sure that this guy couldn't go one?
No, I'm with you. I left watching him. And I was like, I would take him. And it was more of like a quick dive to the other guys that have been preseason. Everyone's saying like in the conversation. And I was like, oh, I'll take that one. Someone else wants to not take him. I'll take that one. Like, that's the one I want. Like 6'7". He has another gear where I'm like, oh, and then I've seen him, you know, bucket getter, some playmaking, some flashiness. Then all of a sudden he throws a dunk down. You're like, what the? I'm ready to obsess about his game. I'm very excited, but there was enough flashes my initial watch. I was like, yeah, I'm very in. How scary do we get? We'll find out. But like, you see him, you can interrupt me anytime. Well, you think of a guy.
You kind of hinted at like the first step, and like his like 0 to 60, like that first step was so impressive. And the way that he like explodes off of his plant foot, whether it's on step backs or Euros or side to side or just going straight line stuff, the way that he explodes off that plant foot is like, oh, like there's real short area burst and explosiveness here combined with the playmaking. And like when he throws skip passes, they're on a frozen rope. Like there's pace, there's trajectory, they're accurate. It's really fun. The shot's a little funky. I haven't watched enough to really form an opinion there, but like the rim pressure, the playmaking, the rebounding, the size, the athleticism, it's like, oh, I'm at the point of just sign me up. Like I moved him to two the other day because I'm like, it's August, why not? And I've seen enough where it's like at this point of the year, very few guys are getting me just as excited about their game as he is.
Yeah, I could see very. I mean, I have him at four. I kind of put him at four, and I was like, I think we got a real shot to put this at one fast. Yeah. If I keep diving, the problem is I like the other guards.
Yeah,
and you know,
I think there's some fun guards here.
Look, Jordan Smith Jr. and Caleb Holt are two very easy yes guys for me. So it's funny we're coming off an amazing point guard class because then I'm like watching my early dives and I'm like, oh, I love three guards right away. Yeah. It's like, I'm in really quick, but Smith, it's a tough year because you're going to look at Smith. A lot of people are going to look at Smith and Holt and probably be like, well, they're more of, especially Jordan Smith. He's going to probably have measurements. I imagine of like a smaller.
I think he's listed at 6'2", which is tough.
Are we thinking the wingspan's going to save him?
I hope so.
Because he just...
If he was 6'5", I think he'd be like the unanimous number one prospect right now.
So look, this is really old. Like, this is really early, but like, I think Holt, for me, has a shot at one.
Yeah.
Checks a lot of boxes. I buy the shot. It's going to be at Arizona. Like, and this isn't like Tyron's... we'll talk about Tyron later. This isn't Stokes slander. I'm more just trying to point out, like, I think there's a lot more competition than some might think. A lot of people think it's just like, oh, it's Stokes. I'm like, I hold on.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, there's a lot of fun tools here. And I'm also going off of the strengths of the other guys. Like Jordan Smith's a maniac defensively, yeah, with a really fun two way upside. Caleb Holt, I think, is kind of right there with him, too. And then we just talked about Steph, who's, like, I think legit could be a number one pick Yeah. Like I've even like mentioned, you know, talking to some scouts like briefly, I've like mentioned like, oh, guys I kind of like, and then I bring up Steph and I just get looked up like kind of like intrigued from saying like, yeah, that's a bad man. And so I talked about four guys and I'm like, this is an intriguing group. And then you get past that, there's some other guys that could jump. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, that's what this segment is at this time of the year. Yeah, like we're just dudes saying names, because you know I think it's just kind of throwing out guys that we think could potentially be like legitimate top five, top 10 picks in 10 months from now. And like a guy like Quinton Coleman, I love this dude. Yes. Point guard going to Illinois. There are a lot of Keaton Wagler vibes there. Now I might be a little biased because like after like my first live exposure to him was, or not I guess in person, but watching him live was one of the games that I was calling for NBA TV, and he gave Caleb Gaskins the business in that tournament that we were working, and he ended up dropping 40 that game. But then even going back through, like he had awesome FIBA stuff in the Americas the other month. He had a really good senior year. The EYBL film checks out. I think he's really fun. He's very skinny, but I think the kid's tough. I think he's crafty. He's flashy. He's super versatile as a scorer. So, you know, sorry to keep leaning in on these guards, but I think Quinton Coleman is right near the top of that list for me as well.
I love Coleman. You know, when you have a guy where you're always preseason, you're like, I feel like I'm gonna move this one aggressively up. So let me like do actually some homework. But like I have him, Colvin Landru. I don't know why. I just have a type, and kind of watching him early, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty in on that one and aggressively. But like Brandon McCoy.
Yeah.
If a couple things go right at Michigan, I'm gonna be like, yeah, Brandon McCoy could maybe be wild card. Bruce Branch at BYU. He needs time, but like
the more I watch, the more I like
yeah,
there's like yes, Moses Moody, Devin Vassell stuff there. Like if BYU fans are like, oh, nice, we got the AJ DeBonso replacement.
No,
you don't.
But I even wonder, like, could he get a? He's so tough because I know exactly where you just started, and I'm like, yeah, Vassell, Moody, and I'm like, could we get above that? That's the perfect comment about this class. Is you watch and you be like, that's where he could be, and then you're like, but is there another level? Because it's just, it's the rawness. Like, is there another level we just don't? And I'm not saying to you, but I see that with a lot of guys. Cameron Williams of Duke. I think he's got talent. I think he's so raw.
So raw.
So raw. But I think there's a lot of talent. Baba. Oh gosh, here goes number two. I'm going to mess up. Olatunun. That was so bad, but it felt good.
Yeah, I think you switched the D and the T.
Yes, I did. 100% switch. Baba at Maryland. I feel the same way. Ton of talent. You see him in person.
I hope he's awesome because like there's a lot of fun stuff there. I also really need the nickname Baba Yaga to stick to someone.
Yes, someone has to take it. We have the memes and movie clips already ready for it to come on. Like, just take it. So I hate his last name. Give me it one more time.
Olatunun.
Oladotun. So I'm switching T and D.
Yeah.
That's just amazingly going to happen all year.
I think, at least reading it, that's how
Oladotun. That sounds better. Okay. I love off-season episodes. But like, and then we haven't even talked about Luigi Swigo. I like some of the international guys a lot.
Yeah.
I like Ugo. I haven't brought up Anthony Thompson too. A lot of people are fans of him, but Metcalf won't be one of them because he's at Ohio State.
How dare you? I removed that bias.
You do. You do. I've yet to see you rank Ohio State guy high, but you do. So I like a lot of this class. And then we haven't even brought up returners for the most part, but there's also a lot of wild cards of like Dylan Mingo at Baylor.
His brother Caden Mingo at Baylor. Like, but like some of the returners along with Caden, like Tunde Yesufu, Billy Richmond, Braylon Mullins, Dame Sarr, Juke Harris, Mo Kriva, Samari Allen. Like there are some big name returners, whether it's sophomores or juniors, who could make a huge, huge impact. And, you know, we saw how quickly last year's draft class, the depth just got eviscerated because of an NIL and guys going back like a Juke Harris, who was probably in like that – 20 to 40 range for a lot of teams. I know that's a big range, but that's kind of where a lot of those guys land. Instead went to Tennessee and is probably going to make a lot of money and very easily could be a top 10 pick. So I think we're going to, this is going to be a really good kind of test case for maximizing your value while also improving as a player and taking advantage of what some people view as a weaker, or I hate that term, so let's instead go with a wide open draft class, and a guy like Trey McKinney as well at Michigan. So
yes,
last summer I had the moronic hot take of like, oh, could this be the first time in X amount of years that we see more returners get drafted in the top 10 than freshmen? That was wrong by a lot. But could this year be that? And it's like, well, the more NIL years and exposure and kind of returners that we keep getting, I think the closer we're going to get to that being a possibility.
There's going to be a draft. Now, look, every NBA draft, we find out teams just value like we'd rather swing.
Yeah.
We'd rather swing for upside, but also like this was probably the year where you returners, you got what, 4 Moreds, Yaxel, Mara, all in the lottery. It's a pretty loud, you know, statement with returners. Like, we got probably more returners in that late lottery than we usually get in terms of, like, there was a couple of juniors there and whatnot. And
to do that, they just had to be
one win the title. Most dominant, no big deal.
College teams in a long time and win a title.
So, but I mean,
for a coach who then immediately went to the NBA.
Yeah, unbelievable run right there. Not like you're, you know, pissed off about it or anything.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. No, but
shout out Mike Boynton keeping that team together. Exciting.
That is exciting. NIL, you're spot on. NIL has done a fantastic job of keeping these kids in college to realize, like, hey, I could still work on my game. I could still get better. I could still improve myself for that early transition to the NBA level. And, you know, I can afford to do that. And I've always thought, like, one of these years it was going to kind of feel like it was always doubling down of, like, these guys staying. And one of these years it's going to hit in the draft where it's like, that's the depth coming alongside it. I do think it could happen this year. You know, like Ivan Karchenkov, another guy, like,
yeah,
could be a big time riser for Arizona.
If he does anything on offense this year, it's like, oh, okay, cool. We just got
the cool best lottery
defender.
Yeah, right, right.
And it's, do you want Ryan Dunn? It's like, all right, cool. Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, a Russian Ryan Dunn. Sounds awesome. I'd probably take that. But it's going to be that type of class, though. Like,
yeah,
going to be a lot of guys that we talk about this year as returners that, you know, Amari Allen, I think, could have a really nice bounce back year, you know, just kind of like in terms of like building off of that pre. Elijah Arenas is going to be an ultimate wild card. If he has a big year, we get exciting. Yeah. Matthew Abel, Stephen Vax going to Illinois. I love him. I think he could be a breakout guy. So there's a lot of fun pieces and a lot of fun returners. And then all of a sudden there's some darling freshmen. Like, this is going to be a fun year. This is going to be a really, really fun class. I think it's more challenging for these type of years, because you're like, how legit is someone's rise potentially getting up to that top conversation?
All right, but before we move on to the swing skill, just give me one name, a deep cut, who you think people need to start kind of looking at, digging into a little bit, so when they break out and have a big November, they're not taken aback. They're not like, who in the world is this guy? I'll give you a little time to search if you need one, because
no, like, you took my Trey McKinney.
No, he's a national champion. He was playing.
No, I know, but still,
he's not deep.
I want to have fun with this. Who's one of my?
Yeah, I'll give you mine.
Yeah, give me go one, and then I'll go.
Mine is Drew Skarnowski, transfer going to Duke, big man from Belmont. The guy rocks. I think he's going to be a big reason why Cameron Williams may be back in at Duke his sophomore season. He's really, really good. I'm fascinated to see how their big man rotation ends up kind of falling, because between Pat Ngongba, Drew Skarnowski, Joakim Boumsha, Cameron Williams, like, they got a lot of size. They got a lot of bigs who are all very good. And I think Skarnowski's a really interesting first round flyer.
I like that. I'm going to cheat and go too. Is that cool? Thanks. One of my personal, just really deep sleepers, LZ Harrington.
Yeah.
San Diego State.
Very fun.
Just really, really like him. I think he had to have a little bit of a procedure in the offseason. He's supposed to be fine probably for like the fall and stuff, but he played a little banged up last year. I just think this could be a leap guy this year and kind of like a, whoa, okay. Like, but another one I think everyone needs to get familiar with, Miles Sadler.
Yeah.
Of West Virginia.
He's nasty.
It's going to have people in their feelings. If you like Tyler Tanner, you're going to love Miles Sadler. He's undersized, but he plays like a pit bull on both sides. If you watch Nike Hoops on it, you should be very familiar with him, but he's going to have people giving me top 10 DMs and I'm going to be like, slow down. I was there first. No, I'm kidding. I think Sadler could play. He's just really, really good. He's going to be with Tanner. They're going to be trying to break the small guard, you know, conundrum. And I think they got a shot this year.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game. And if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
All right, let's jump to the swing scale. And this week we're looking at Billy Richmond from Arkansas, my sweet prince. Billy was a first-round guy for me. I think I ended up with him in my top 20 before he withdrew last year. And I promise that not every one of these segments is going to be, oh, the jumper. It very easily could be for pretty much anyone, because whenever you look at a player and you're like, oh, man, swing skill, the shot. Okay, boring. But with Billy, we've had multiple years of growth, of development, of struggles, of inconsistencies. And when you look at his game, that's really the only thing that's missing is the outside shot, because he's got a good handle. He can get downhill. He's a really fun passer. He's an awesome defender. He's a good rebounder. He's a really good cutter, really good off-ball mover. The thing that's just missing is that outside jumper. Now, as a freshman, he shot 12.5% on 16 total attempts, 1.4 attempts per 100 possessions. As a sophomore, 25.9% on 58 attempts, which was 3.1 attempts per 100. What does his shot need to get to for him to stop breaking my heart and going back to college?
You know, it's amazing the growth in 1 year is like, you might look at it from just a percentages number and be like, ah, that's not that much. And it's like, no, it's such a big deal. Synergy is freshman year. He had 47 possessions and spot up. He was in the 12th percentile, which is poor. Shout out. Sophomore year is 123 possessions. What a jump. As a spot up guy, he jumped to 25th percentile, below average. We're climbing, Metcalf. It's a slow Mount Everest climb, but we're climbing. I think the shot needs to flirt with being in 30 consistently. I didn't say 39. I said 30s. Like, I think it needs to be there a little higher volume, and I think Billy's there. Like, he does so much on the court. I think NBA teams are in love with him. I think it's like the teams are probably in love with him and trying to steal him somehow without the shot coming around. Like, they're probably going to be like, oh, if we could get Billy Richmond somehow in first pick of the second round or something. He just has the tools, the intangibles, everything you want for an NBA team to have as like your rotation glue, Swiss Army. Oh, in case of emergency, break glass. We could bring Billy Richmond in to, you know, give us some energy and whatnot. I love Billy.
Is it actually a make or break skill for him? Because like a lot of guys of this archetype, they purely don't really make it in the league. You know, they might bounce around, they might sign a handful of minimum contracts, but they don't really have that established role or carve out a meaningful minute share in the league because they can't shoot it. So it wouldn't, by no means would Billy be the first guy to have this experience, but do you think it's actually a make or break skill for him? Or do you think that even if he, let's say that the percentage really doesn't jump that much, and he's at like 28% on five attempts per 100 possessions this year. So moderate little jump in both volume and efficiency, but nowhere near where you would hope it would be. Is that enough? Or do you think that that would still really cause him to kind of flame out?
I don't know. Being honest, like, it's just me personally, but like, I feel like talking to teams and even scouts, it's like, there's so much joy about him as a prospect that it's like, does it matter if the shot doesn't take another jump? You know, our team's just kind of like, oh, it's comfortably, like, I don't know if he's going to shoot comfortably mid 30s. If teams all of a sudden gonna be like, oh, now he's a top 20 guy easily. Or if teams are just going to be like, well, he's still, it's such a tough one because I'm trying not to be biased, but I watch his tape and how much he impacts the game without scoring. And he does stuff that a lot of guys don't do. And it's just second nature to him where like I'm watching his defensive rotations and I'm like, guys don't move this quick defensively in terms of just ball awareness, where to be closing out. Like he takes over possessions just by effort and it's both sides. It's, you know, tip dunks, it's crashing for glass. Like, so like, yeah, if the shot took another step, I still think Billy's young enough to where he could have that jump as a junior. But I don't think it's like make or break. Like, would it shock you if the shot doesn't take a step and all of a sudden it was like, oh, Billy's going middle of second round? I feel like that would be surprising to me.
That would really shock me. Because I don't think there's a major weakness in his game outside of that. And I feel like it's not like, I feel like he has a really high level of self-awareness too, where it's not, it's like, oh, like it doesn't seem to bother him. It doesn't seem to impact his play. Like when he misses a shot, it's like, all right, well, that sucked, but now I'm going to go play defense or go get the offensive board or cut or relocate off ball. So like make or break, I don't think it is. Is it the swing skill in terms of being a potential lottery top 20 guy? Probably. But is it going to keep him out of the league or destroy his career? I don't think so. It might make his landing spot a little more context dependent, or like his ultimate outcome and being able to hit his ceiling a little more context dependent. But I'm in the boat where I think he brings so many other things to the table, and not just like an average level, but like an elite level in college basketball where the shot just has to get to like not awful. And I think it's going to be more than enough.
Like on one of the wings last year, he was like 6 for 15, 40% from downtown. But like you pair in two corner shots, which is like, he needs to get that down. Corner, one of the corners, he went 4 for 15, 26%. Other, he went 3 for 14, 21%. Not great, Bob. So we need to get both of those ironed out, because it's like, if you can be a defensive specialist 3-and-D guy where it's just like you could at least hit the corner three or, you know, a trailing three, opens up the world. But at the combine, I was like, the shot looks good. So yeah. It's funny because it's like, well, I'll be curious to see. This is the typical, another, the guy takes another step with the shot and you're like, 32% on higher volume. Like, well, come on. Like, so it was one of those things watching in person where I was like, I buy the shot long term. And you're spot on. Like, it's a lot of promising skills in other areas. I'm not saying this is an all NBA guy. I'm saying this is very valuable potential defensive chip to put into your roster of, like, I think every NBA team that is trying to contend for a championship needs a gadget defensive weapon you can pull out of your pocket. And I think Billy's like a heck of a prospect to become that. So you also just hear the best intel about him. Like, you just hear everyone lights up about him. So I think he's a first rounder. I think it's pretty comfortable. It's just, where's the range? Like, does he get into the top 20 with a better shot year? Or does he kind of look like an end of the first, early second priority guy? You know what I'm saying?
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Absolutely. Let's bounce to Trusted or Not, where we're going to look at a specific number or a cliche or some takes that we're seeing. And we're going to just kind of hash it out of, do we actually believe this? Do we trust this number? Do we not trust it? Do we believe what we're seeing or what we're hearing? And the original idea for the segment that I threw at you, I hated, so I reshaped it. And
so we're going from the hip.
And it led me to Jeremy Fears is going to win National Player of the Year. And then I was like, oh, I wonder what the actual odds on that were. So I looked them up, and apparently he's the front runner for it. So I was like, okay, well, that's boring. That's what I saw. That's what I saw the other day. So that may have changed. I may have been looking at something inaccurate, but that's what I saw. So on top of that, because that's just boring, if I'm like, oh, the betting favorite is, like, lame. So that, and he's going to be a first-round pick. Do you trust it or not?
So if I say no, I'm a hater. If I say yes,
no, because we have an open forum to discuss and provide reasoning for it.
National Player of the Year and first round. Well, if he's National Player of the Year, yes, he's going to be a first rounder. I don't know if I... Gosh, now I got to look up his shooting stuff. So this is good. Apparently, this is the episode of do we buy the guys that are going to become better shooters?
A little bit. So okay.
I don't know if I buy it.
Let me make the case for it. So okay. Of the returning players,
yeah,
Fears has the third highest BPM. He had the highest assist rate in the country at 53. Number two is at 45.8. That assist rate of 53 was also the highest in Bartorvik's database. On top of that, his turnover rate was just 16.5. Assist to turnover ratio was 3.9, both significantly better than they were his freshman season. His three-point percentage fell a little bit from 34 to 32%, but volume doubled from 2.6 attempts per 100 to 5.7, and his two-point percentage jumped from 41.1 to 47.8 on over 100 more attempts. I loved what we saw at the Combine. I thought this dude is a winner. He is a leader, whatever cliche you want to throw out there. He's an awesome passer. He's a nasty defender. If you ignore all the shenanigans in his game, which he tends to get mostly positive results from, but the dude can win, and I love the way that he communicates out there. I think there are going to be narratives behind it for him. I think some of the returners like Jordan Scott, Cam Ward taking a big leap in their second year, Caleb Glenn coming back from injury. I think Michigan State could be sneaky good, and I think Jeremy Fears is yet again going to be in a position to put up some bonkers numbers.
Murphy says hi to everyone. I kind of buy it. This list is unbelievable for player of the year odds.
Yeah. Go through them.
Thomas Houck is second. Do you want to know who's third? Have you looked at this?
No.
Okay. Third is John Blackwell. Let me repeat that. Third is John Blackwell.
Oh my God.
John Blackwell, Tyrod Stokes is 18-1. Tunde Yesufu.
Money on fire.
Tunde Yesufu is in our top five. Tyler Tanner, Jordan Smith, Flory Badunga, Alex Condon are your next names. Brandon McCoy, I could get it at 56-1.
That's too high.
It's too high. Wow. Yeah, this is a fun list. How did he finish? Dead last? Oh yeah, he looked good today. Caleb Holt like is 4-1 is what?
Fears is one, correct?
Fears is one. He's plus 850. Like Caleb Holt at plus 4,000 is ridiculous. But I understand how wide open it is because you start looking at some of these names and you're like, okay, I understand it's pretty wide open, but like the fact that I could get Dink Pate is on the list. Oh man, I could bet Neo, Dink, and Cameron Williams all with the same odds. That's fun. Boogie Flan's also on here if you really want to get after it. Anyways, Metcalf, look, you kind of start thinking about it, and who's the top? You know, there's not really a Braden Smith to compete with Jeremy Fears or a Zach Edey type where it's like, oh, the obvious senior returner.
Yeah.
That's like, you know what I'm trying to say. So Fears kind of has that going for him. He did look really good at the combine. I feel like he looked good enough to where I was like, did he stay? Like I was like, maybe he should stay in. And then I was like, no, going back makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I first rounder. It's just always tough to project that, but I guess that makes some sense. I could buy it a little bit.
Okay. What were Drew Karras's odds?
He's 35-1.
Oh,
that's not bad. Except for the fact that Tennessee.
Well, yeah, but you know,
and that is a Rick Barnes shot. I like him. He's not good. Jordan's like Jordan Smith's 25-1.
What a wild list!
What a wild list. I mean, Isaiah Johnson.
Oh God,
45-1. Like
I him up earlier. I love that dude.
Yeah, I actually meant I was going to do that, but like Krivas, 50-1? Braylon Mullins, 50-1? I kind of like those more than John Blackwell. No offense to John Blackwell.
I like about 50 names you read off more than John Blackwell.
I'm very confused about the John Blackwell. I think it might throw me off the rest of the pod.
We'll get into that.
I do like him, but second.
Okay, so you're trusting Jeremy Pierce, National Player of the Year.
Well, what? We got a whole...
We have 10 months, so...
I'm just talking it out with you. Because you think about more of that, like Michigan State's whole team coming back, yeah?
Except they're bigs. They lost Cooper and Kohler.
Kohler's also trying to return now, right?
Apparently.
I can't keep track of anyone. Someone tell me who the starting lineup is on
night one. But then they have Bonk and Anton Bonk coming over from Charlotte. So,
but I liked a lot of me and you liked a lot of their freshmen last year.
Yeah, like I think Jordan Scott's going to have a big year.
Scott,
Caleb Glenn coming back from ACL injury. Cam Ward had a really nice year.
I liked Cam Ward and so Scott. Like, yeah,
they got talent and guys going into their second or third years who are good players. And then they also have a incoming center, freshman center, blanking on his name, Ethan Thompson, something like that.
Why does no one ever have the updated rosters?
Josiah Jervis, shooting guard, four-star freshman coming in. Ethan Taylor, 6'10" center coming in.
Let me correct that. Why does the main companies never have the updated rosters? Because I feel like a lot of you grinders out there make some amazing stuff and amazing resources. I actually have to clean up my stuff and get it all tracked. So thank you to all those guys out there. You know who you are. But I get why Fears should have a little bit of a runway here because you got a lot of that team coming back. This is setting up to be an Izzo special team where it's like now you got your guys back. They take a huge step, some vets, and you get the guy to run the show. I think so. I'm tired of Cohen Carr offseason dunk videos. So another year of that.
All right, let's wrap up with final segment. Prove me wrong. Where one or both of us will come with a take. And again, this is not a take that we're just saying to be spicy. It's something that we kind of believe in based off of numbers, eval, film, intel, all that stuff. So Rucker, feel free to tear me apart for this one. But we kind of beat around the bush earlier with Tyron Stokes. We didn't talk about him a ton, saving it for the segment. I think his odds of being the first pick are about as good as him not being a top five guy. Like, I think there's a legitimate chance that he is not a top five pick in the 2027 NBA draft.
Oh, man, everyone's going to overreact. I love this. Let's look.
I will clarify that with on paper, he should be the no-brainer number one pick. His combination of size, skill, physicality, versatility, the way that he can pass the ball, it's so much fun. There's so much good, but there are so many inconsistencies and warts in his game that I don't know what version we're going to get from him, because I think he has been by far at his best in Team USA settings and in those settings where he's doing the little things and committing to playing winning basketball and clapping up his teammates and just not worried about his own numbers. I think he looks really good. But then when you go back through all of the high school stuff, you go back through all of the AAU stuff, it's some of the worst film you'll find. He puts up better numbers, but his film is awful. Like in terms of shot selection, just never boxing out, defensive rotations, constantly throwing his hands up whenever anyone makes a mistake, complaining about everything. He looks just miserable out there. It was really, really tough. So I'm fascinated to see what version of him we get, but I'm not totally convinced that he is the top five lock that he should be.
Yeah, I agree. I feel comfortable about that. So I don't think you're crazy. Talent wise, he should be a slam dunk number one. I don't think it's just talent.
Yeah.
I think this is wide open. I think this draft is wide open. Everyone's going to say Stokes won, Stokes won. I'm not there. I think this is wide open as ever. I think this is why a lot of scouts you talk to, and Metcalf said it in the opening, like you talk to a lot of scouts right now and they point at the 24 class. They say, spitting image. We're not going to know.
Yeah.
And that's loud because a lot of these guys have seen Stokes plenty and they know the on court, the off the court, which like I never try to dog the kid. So I don't want everyone to take this the wrong way. I'm reporting what I've been told, what you've been told, what all of us have been told.
It's been well documented. Like it's well documented. If you Google it, you're going to find plenty on it.
It does not take a scientist or a detective to figure this out. Tyron's not going to have great intel.
Yeah.
He's got a year to show it and prove that wrong, but there is very loud questions about that. And I know a lot of draft fans out there, I think the whole team at No Ceilings, we know how loud intel is and how much weight it carries. And if a team's going to take someone at number one, that intel's got to be chef's kiss, no questions, everyone's on board. So like, I think there's, besides just the tape and questions you might have from that, there's a gigantic elephant in the room of that part of the evaluation too. So like, I don't think that's crazy at all. I think some people will think that's nuts preseason because you watch the highs and you're like, no one could touch this kid. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but the lows are just as low. And this is the number one pick.
Yeah.
We're talking about like, this isn't, think about how people were ripping Anthony Edwards apart for a quote about basketball and football. It was ridiculous. Like, think about everything that's going to happen. So I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
Cause okay, I think he could be, and like, we're familiar with some of the stuff and it's like, I don't think it's the kid. I think it's also like just the upbringing and whatnot. But like, I think he can walk a fine line this year in Kansas, prove himself. But I have a lot of questions about his game anyways. So I really do think it's wide open.
Yeah.
We listed a lot of guys that could make some noise up there. And I think there's also some guys up there that are probably going to have outstanding intel. I don't know. I'm not trying. Like, I hate doing that because people think like, oh, you're just rooting again. No, I'm not. I think Stokes' talent, 6'8", versatile.
Yeah. Like, very legit passer, really fun shooting, versatility, the disruptive defender when he wants to be. But like, that's the big thing. It's like, when he wants to be and when he wants to commit to playing winning basketball, we've seen it in every Team USA setting where he's been awesome. He's looked fantastic. And then there are settings where he looks horrible. So hopefully it's just a case of sometimes a new situation and a new voice is able to unlock a lot. And I'm really hopeful. And, I really want Bill Self and that Kansas staff to be that opportunity for him to consistently get that Team USA version of Tyron Stokes every single game, or at least the vast majority of games, and have that become the norm and have some of these, the outlier or the high school and AAU film turn into the outlier of Bill Langell is a bad stretch. And there was a jump in his maturity and his game and the way that he approached the game and doing the little things. I really hope that's the case. But I need to see it. Anything else on Stokes or anything else in this class?
No, he's such a tough one this year because you're going to tiptoe with stuff. I don't know if I'm accurately going to explain it because you want to tiptoe always with some of these kids and like kind of the off the court stuff. And, it's like Metcalf said, it's well documented and whatnot. And doesn't take a lot of hard work to kind of find some stuff out about Stokes, but then you kind of also sigh with the kid. And I think it is also one of those tough upbringings. He probably went through some stuff that none of us would hope. And, but you also at some point, the kid's got to be walking a straight line. And I think Self could be the best thing for Stokes. Like, this is, last year was a tough year for Self with the Darren situation. It was so weird.
Yeah.
And everyone jokes now and is like, now you're, you know, you get Stokes. And he has, but I'm also like, yeah, this could be the biggest reward, is because Stokes needs kind of that presence. And I think it could be great for both parties. And I can't wait to kind of see what type of player he looks like. It's kind of the perfect prospect version of like what they've always wanted, is like the stretched out forwards that are gadgety. But as just a basketball player, I just need like the consistency to be more around. I don't know if people are looking at the highest talent in someone like Stokes and just being like, well, we don't know about the rest of the class, so that's number one. That's sort of how I feel right now, where I'm like, I have more questions about Stokes on the court. I'm trying to spin this positive with Metcalf. So like, is there a world where you think he just hits the ground and you're like, oh gosh, yeah, he's so dominant? Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. And if he's just like, oh wait, I'm huge, I'm super skilled, and I'm one of the smartest players out here, why don't I just do that every single game? And I really do think that just like the body language with him is one of the like the easiest fixes. Because like after every turnover, after every bad call, after every miss, there's always hands up, like palms to the sky of like, what are you doing? And just like being frustrated with all that kind of stuff. And I think like if he just eliminates that and doesn't let that seep into everything else in his game, I think it's just going to unlock so much more of the positive stuff that we constantly see from him. Because like you'll see him grab a defensive rebound in traffic, push in transition, you know, fake a drive, hit a step back spin move, fall away three from like NBA range, and you're like, what in the world? And then like the next possession, he jumps the passing lane on the weak side and takes it full court for a big time dunk, and then flares out a nasty skip pass on like a rope to a corner shooter. It's like the guy can shoot, he can score around the rim. Like there are nuances and stuff where he struggles that we'll get into all year, but like he's super disruptive as a defender. There's a lot of good in his game, but he just so infrequently taps into it at the level that he needs to like guarantee that he should be the number one pick. Like on paper, he should easily be the number one pick in this class, easily. And yet he just looks kind of complacent and uninterested out there way too much.
It should be just, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Starts at two. Funny enough, and this is the time of off season where we just like, you obsess, you start watching, you get a real good feel on guys that like you're struggling with. You're like, all right, like, and I feel like sometimes I've watched him, I'm like, is this Wiggins? Like, is this going to be Wiggins where you're wanting, you know, you're like, oh, just needs a couple things and it comes around. And I'm not saying the play styles are similar. I'm just saying more of like the idea where you're like, you're always wanting a little more. Does that make sense?
I'm worried he's Kuzma.
In what way?
It puts up numbers. Some of it looks really fun. But like, what does it actually do? What does it actually contribute? It's all emptiness. It's all fluff. None of it actually means or contributes to anything. Like when Kuzma was at his best, he wasn't the guy. And once he got paid like the guy, his game fell off a cliff. And I think that's really similar to what we've seen from Stokes, where like when he's been in Team USA settings where he isn't the guy, he's been awesome. He's been really good. But when he's been the guy in high school, there's a lot of just nothingness to his game. There are numbers. He puts up stats, but there wasn't anything of substance there. So that's kind of where I worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be a fascinating one. Cause I understand everyone just go right after Stokes and be like, yeah, easy. And I'm like, I got him at three. It feels weird moving much lower, but I also feel like I could get into that convo pretty quick. But I also feel like you put it perfectly. And I don't want people to overreact, but that's just what happens. There is times every game where I watch, he makes a play and I'm like, that is a number one pick play.
Yeah.
And it's a sequence like you brought up where it's just like grab and go, dime. You're like, oh my. But there's also some lows that are very loud that you're like, the difference here is not just like, oh, one to fifth pick. Yeah. It's like, okay. So I, again, think Kansas would be the best thing for him. I can't wait to see how his game blossoms this year. But every little thing, when you got some questionable intel coming into the year, every little thing matters. So yeah, you might listen and hear Metcalf being like, oh, well, he's throwing his arms up and above him and be like, that's not a big deal. Oh, it's a huge deal for the guys making the calls on the picks. It's a huge deal how you're carrying yourself, especially when you're trying to be the number one pick. You have to be just, everything's good. Nothing's questionable, or like, they don't want you to draft you and all of a sudden you're just a headache. And I'm not saying Tyron's that, but you know what I'm saying, Metcalf. It's just, it all matters. So I like it. It's a good take. Spicy, but not also at the same time.
Can't wait to be proven wrong. Desperately hope I am. But that's where we're going to leave it. You can find all of our stuff at NoCeilingsNBA.com, No Ceilings on YouTube, socials, wherever you find podcasts. He is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Until next week, see ya.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.